personal advisor to David Ben-Gurion, Yaakov Herzog, shares the following. If you ask us, the Jewish people, where are you going? How do you see the future? Essentially, if I were to be quite frank, I would say that the essence of Israel and the essence of the Jewish people throughout the ages has been the capacity to live for the unknown. Looking back over the past, we look to the future with faith. As we face up to these problems and march into the unknown, let us recall the final and ultimate dialogue that gives us strength. That is, faith, linked to the unity of the Jewish people. Herzog delivered these comments November 11, 1968. In the aftermath of the Six-Day War, his question is ours. Where on earth are we going? What is the future of the Jewish people and the existence of the State of Israel? We ask ourselves this morning, what's next? It's as if Herzog could be standing right here on this bima at this very moment, asking the same questions, delivering his same poignant message. And we can't confuse his reference to the unknown to say that the Jews then and the Jews now are unaware of our reality. Whether it's 1968 or 2014, the fact is that we live in trying times. We know that the world does not stand up to champion the cause of the Jews, be it in Europe or right here on our local college campuses. Jews have actually said that they are frightened to publicly declare their religion out loud, that they're scared to wear kippot on their heads. But Herzog points out, our biggest success, our most important arsenal, is one that we discard too quickly after the waning of a war. That is, to be a Jewish people linked by our faith and our unity. Now, the words might sound flowery, but it's the truth. When war breaks out, we are very good at being a unified people. I saw it at Congregation Beth Jacob in the sanctuary where we held the memorial for the three slain yeshiva boys, Naftali, Eyal, and Gilad. And I remember how proud I was just to be standing in that sanctuary. And I looked around the room and I saw the diversity of our people, men in black hats, women and men in jeans, members of our congregation, the young, the older, Jews of different ethnicities, all of us there, despite our theological differences, because we know how important it is to stand up as one people representing one faith. But to me, and I think to many of you, it feels as if that memorial service was a very long time ago. Time goes by. And as each day rolls on, that urge to stand together, it dissipates. And it may be something that's natural, but you know as I do, that natural feeling is not something that we can afford. And so this morning, we must find a reminder, something that will signal our hearts and minds to recall that the unknown still hovers in the shadows, and we need to be prepared. The Talmud asks us the question, if every day is worse than the previous, how in that case does the world continue to endure? And the answer that the Talmud gives is quite beautiful. The world endures because of the communal response that we recite during the Kaddish Yatom, the Mourner's Kaddish. Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mebarach L'Alam Olamei Omaya. May God's name be blessed for all time. Meaning that no matter the circumstance, no matter what happens in this world, be it genocide or famine or disaster, we endure because our faith in God does not allow us to crumble. But I think it's more significant than that. I think the Talmud is trying to tell us something much deeper and something we need to take to heart. We know that the Kaddish is said in the minimum of the presence of 10 people. It's a prayer that stipulates that when we are hurting, when we are mourning, someone else must witness and feel our pain. It's a reminder that when the world for us might look bright and inviting, there's another Jew in this congregation or in this community or in the world that needs our recognition, our response, our respect. It's our liturgy that reminds us that we are a people that both mourn and celebrate together. The Chazon Ish, a 20th century Belarusian-born rabbi, established the custom that when multiple people need to say Kaddish, even if there are 20 plus people in the room in mourning or observing yard site, each Kaddish is said separately. Each person recites it one after the other so that that person in mourning hears the entire congregation responding to their pain. More widely accepted is our own custom that those in mourning recite the Kaddish together in unison, understanding that they are not alone in their personal journey. Either custom, every time we hear the words of the Kaddish and every time we choose to respond, we're training our ears and we're training our hearts to share in the grief of our people. We say out loud, this person's pain is my own. And we learn not to see each other as strangers, but rather as members of one united family. Something quite extraordinary happened this past Sunday evening. Our own Sinai Temple members, Julie and Michael Silverstein, named their baby girl Nessa Mine. I had the chance to hear Julie and Michael explain how they chose her name. And Julie first explained that the N, the Nun, is in honor of her beloved deceased father, Norton. But then the two of them said something I was not expecting. You see, Julie and Michael explained that their little girl, Nessa, was also named in honor of Naftali Frankel, one of the yeshiva boys I mentioned earlier. So imagine my surprise. Here we are, standing in a living room in Redondo Beach, California, thousands of miles away from the land of Israel. And we have parents infusing within a newborn girl the hope and prayer that she will understand the privilege of being a member of the Jewish community. In Michael's words, we want Nessa to know that she's a part of our people. She should be proud to be Jewish. And we know that every time that little girl hears her name, she holds Naphtali with her, a young boy from a different country, speaking a different language, but someone that held the same intrinsic values of Judaism that both of her parents will teach her from this day forward. We have no idea what will happen tomorrow. But if we flip through the pages of Jewish history, the theme is prevalent. Time and time again, it is our faith in God and our ties to one another that allows the Jewish people to prevail. The Talmud asks the following question about the ways we pray. When are you allowed to interrupt your Amidah? Rav Dimi answers, you can interrupt your Amidah to respond to someone else's Kaddish, Yehei Shmei Rabbah. That is, to recognize another Jew, to be connected to another Jew, to be united with another Jew, it's worth the interruption. So I can tell you what's next. Before the Jewish people is a heavy decision. When united, we know that we flourish as a nation. But when divided, our fragmented voices speak volumes louder than any enemy that we may face. And that's the voice, the fragmented collection of voices of our people that the world chooses to hear and chooses to put on the news. But I'm hopeful that no matter the circumstance, we will choose together wisely. That just as the children of Israel stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, receiving the Torah and declared that we are Am Echad Im Lev Echad. We are one people with one heart. We will transform yet again, hearts cleaving one to each other in celebration and failure, hope and aspiration. We must know that our future, the future of our children, and the future of our children's children depend upon it. Shabbat Shalom.